2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. And as soon as we have this, I want you to think about one of the most basic tenets of what we believe. And what is that? 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. Let's read it together. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Well, most of you could probably quote that right now if you'd never memorized it, because it's only a few words, right? For we walk by faith, not by sight. For we walk by faith and not by sight. For we walk by faith and not by sight, and faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. And who do you hear best? Out of whose mouth? Out of my own mouth. My mouth makes a unique sound for me. Did you know that? It's unique. It's not what you hear, it's what I hear is different than what you hear. And that accounts for why when so many people are recorded, they don't think it's them. Right? Because we don't sound the same on a recording. I've heard myself enough on recording, I recognize me now, but yeah. I didn't used to.
Yeah.
We walk by faith and not by sight. You know, that is so basic and so simple that many people, and I don't know how, but they've missed it. And as I said, when we talk about many, many, many believing Christians, those who are true believers, those who walk and understand by the Spirit of God what it is to be born again, to know Yeshua, a right to know life eternal. Still, there's a part of us that wants to take things not by faith, but by sight. And you listen to Christians. Christians are just like, by the way, there's a whole bunch of television stations. Well, I don't know if there's a bunch of them, but there are stations that have a lot of stuff about the Bible on them. Have you noticed that on TV? There's some of these cable stations that, what are the History Channel and some of the different ones, and people get all excited. And most of them, if the truth be known, are actually talking doubt rather than faith. But Christian people, believing people, get all excited if there happens to be some piece of physical evidence. All the Dead Sea Scrolls, I mean, boy, that just proved that there really is a God. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If that's what it took for you to believe there was a God, you're still lost.
Yeah.
Because we don't walk by sight. And if they were able to somehow ferry it out and bring Noah's Ark over and set it in Smithsonian, if they could bring it over, there'd be many, many, many of the scholars gathered around and say, this is a day of great proportion. This is, and some would say this is absolute proof. And there would be others that said, no, there was a tribe over there in the mountains that built that right where it sat, and it was done because of some myth. Are you getting what I'm saying? We have a desire to see, and please don't think I'm saying there's not a place for seeing. There is a place for seeing. Bless God. God gives us feelings. Say feelings.
Feelings.
Feelings. But I want to say something to you about feelings. Feelings aren't where it's at from the carnal part.
But they can be harnessed or
yes.
Or used.
Yes.
By the Spirit.
God gave them to us. God gave feelings to us. They have a special place, just like He gave you a soul. Say, I am a spirit.
I am a spirit.
I have a soul.
I have a soul.
I live in a body. Now that's your three parts. How many are you?
There's just one.
I'm Echad. I'm one. Our God is Echad. He's Father, Son, Ruach HaKodesh, but he's one. But God, who made you a spirit in his likeness and in his image, also gave you a soul. And that soul is the place where your conscience comes from. Your imagination. It's there, so it's good. There's good parts of it. Mind, your will, your emotions. And as you said, there's a way to harness. To harness. And what we're really looking at is getting things in order. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Things in the right order. If you listen to people, and many theologians do this, many Christian ministers will do this. I hear them talk about it all the time. Body, soul, and spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. How many of you hear people refer to it that way? What's wrong?
It's backwards.
It's backwards order. And it's the way we so often live. We are so attuned to how we feel. Now, I understand this. In 1954, I attended a miracle evangelistic service in Strasburg, Colorado. I was 10 years old. And I still remember the things that went on there. There were miracles that went on. A man that my mother had known since he was a little boy, who had pierced his eardrum and had no hearing in one of his ears, was healed in that service that night. His ear was healed. I saw it. I heard him hear through that ear because he plugged the other ear and he could hear. And he hadn't heard from being a little boy. This was in a small town of Strasburg. You know where Strasburg is? Yeah, that's where I was brought up. And at the end of that service, I vaguely remember anything about his message. But I remember exactly what he said when he said, "Are you ready tonight to meet Jesus? Should you die or should he come? Do you know that you would be in heaven if he came tonight?" And I remember sitting there, and I didn't know anything about the moving of the Holy Spirit much at that time, but I'll tell you what, he began to move. And he began to move in me. And listen, this should be happening to little children a lot. They should be coming to these places where there's a place of absolute decision-making coming on. There's a certain age. I can't tell you where that age is, but it should be a specific time where they hear and say yes. And I remember, you know, being a good, submissive young child. I didn't know that I could answer an invitation without my mother's permission. And what would you do? You know, you reach over and you put your hand on mom's arm and you try to get her attention. And what does mom think? Mom thinks, this is the wrong time for you to be talking to me. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Because as I touched her, the Holy Spirit spoke to her and said, pay attention. And all she had to do was look into my eyes. And she said, you do what the Lord tells you to do. Mm-hmm. And I got up and I went forward. And I received Jesus as my Savior and as my Lord. 10 years of age. And I want you to know that I 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 received Jesus that night. There is absolutely no discussion in my mind about it. I went from the realm of darkness into the realm of light. I went from the realm of death into life. And there was a tremendous knowing on the inside. But there also was some feeling. Say feeling.
It's feelings.
It was good feeling. It was good. It was almost what you would say euphoric. It was so, everything was good. Everything was wonderful. I mean, I remember it with so much joy. But there were feelings. Now, 10 years old. I can remember the slow process that after a period of time, I no longer had the feeling. Do any of you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you lost the feeling. You lost the feeling. Did you lose the knowing? No. In fact, let me tell you that as I grew and went on through my days of growing on into my college years, that I delighted to talk to people about it, even though by this time I was no longer walking in it. I quit walking in it within weeks, months. Now, I say I quit walking, I still attended church, but there was not a sense of just pressing on, going on with what I knew. And so I actually began to walk like the world. I began to talk like the world. I began to act like the world.
Just like the church today.
Just like many in the church today. That's right. There was not any difference in that, except that I still knew what had happened. I knew there was no doubt. I knew it. And I, as I say, I took delight in talking with people about what I knew, that there was God. But you know what I didn't have anymore? Confidence. I did not have confidence that that which had happened to me was still in force. Why? Feelings. My feelings were gone. And I would go as a young man. I remember at the ages of 11, already this was happening, 12, going to church and being in a church. I sat in Calvary Temple. It used to be Central Assembly, right down on 4th and Grant in Denver. And then they moved to First and University, and they took over a big, built a great building, Calvary Temple. And I remember sitting in these services and hearing the Word of God, and that same sense of urgency and need to be right with God would come back, and I would answer an altar call thinking that I could somehow recapture what really had not been lost. Listen to me now. It really had not been lost. There was still that knowing on the inside. What I still believed. I still trusted that the Lord was the Savior. I just, because of feeling, was not convinced that it was enforced for me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because, you know, I've walked with people and ministered with people and counseled with people through the years that lose their assurance of their salvation. And it is all based upon this area of feeling. And it seems to me that those who have had the most dynamic experiences oftentimes are the ones that slip into this error and don't want to come. You know, they've heard God. By the way, how many of you have ever heard Jesus speak out loud? As far as you're concerned, it was audible. You know, how many would say that that happens to you every day? I hear Jesus audibly. Well, it's happened to me maybe once or twice. And some, you know, most of us kind of get to the place where we say, I think it was audible. It was audible to me, right? Henrietta heard God audibly. When I was laying in the hospital, preparing for surgery from cancer, 1967, she heard God say, "Terry's all right," as she prayed for me. God spoke to her, and in, as far as she's concerned, audibly, "Terry's all right, how are you?" Now, the point is, when you hear like that, it makes an effect upon you, right? In fact, you would have to say that if you think you've heard, that you're auditory senses have been involved, right? Now, the reason we talk about this is because I hear from the Lord regularly, but I don't hear from Him audibly. How do you hear from Him? Well, it's by that inner knowing. What did I say about salvation in the first place? I knew that I knew that I knew that I knew. There was no doubt. I knew. Say no.
No.
No. Calls to the things of the Spirit. Oftentimes when God calls you into ministry, sometimes that's dynamic. Sometimes that's really dynamic when God shows you a certain thing. God makes a direction. Somebody told me the other day he had heard from God so clearly, and God told him to do certain things, and God told him, "This is the woman I want you to marry." Well, you know, those are dynamic circumstances. And usually what goes along with them? Jubilation, feeling, excitement. The emotions get involved, don't they? But I want to tell you something. Everything we do doesn't have to have that. Much of our Christian walk does not need to have that. And the Father, because of His grace, doesn't allow you to do that, because we're already quick to get inclined toward the physical, the carnal, aren't we? And that is hard for carnal people. And, you know, when I say carnal now, I'm not saying that critically. I'm saying for people who have been raised up, I mean, that's the way we lived. You've trained your soul a lot more than you've trained your spirit. The world trains souls as a function of government. They're soul trainers. Unfortunately, they're also truth spinners. They spin the truth off to the side oftentimes, don't they? So I want you to think about, we went through a series of lessons about thinking, what you think. And we looked at Romans 12, verse 2, in the God's Word translation. And it says it this way, "Don't become like the people of this world. Change the way you think. Then, if you change the way you think, then..." In other words, if you don't change the way you think, this won't happen. "But if you change the way you think, then you'll be able to determine what God really wants, what is good, pleasing, and perfect." And this is talking about that area of hearing with your spirit. Hearing with the spirit man. Hey, not hearing with your soul man.
The God's Word translation, and I'm prefacing it with this. I know the word repentance is not in in Romans 12:2, but check it
right
out. Change the way you think. In Greek, that phrase is metanoia,
right,
which is the phrase for repentance.
True.
And I think that that's...
probably there.
Yeah.
Probably there. That's right. Now, we don't normally think about repentance. By the way, it looks like I really messed up our margin. We'll get this adjusted. You wouldn't think just the new update on the program would change everything, but it has. So at any rate, change the way you think. That's good. Metanoia. Change the way you think. Now, what are we talking about? Well, we're talking primarily in this area. We think primarily
in the soul.
Soulishly. Our thought process is keyed into it. Our brother said this morning. John said, you can harness this. That's getting things in order. Not body, soul, and spirit. Not soul, body, and spirit. But spirit, soul, and body. Put your spirit in control, and then the things that happen in your soul, and they will from time to time, God will bless you with some feelings. Praise God for feelings. I like feelings. But you know what? Recognize them for what they are.
Yeah.
You see, what we're looking at here is the finished work. Say the finished work.
The finished.
God has done a finished work for us. His finished work is everything. And you say, well, what's everything? Everything is all things that pertain unto life and godliness are given unto us through the knowledge of Him who called us to grace and virtue, glory and virtue. God's called us to that. He's given unto us all things. Finished work. It's finished. So what does that leave us doing? Abiding in the finished work. We abide in it. Does that make us dormant? Absolutely not. When you abide in Him, what do you do?
What the Father does.
Whatever He happens to be doing, right? And He doesn't just happen to do anything. He does everything by design. Mm-hmm. What do you speak?
What the Father says.
What the Father says. And so here we go. So that's changing the way we think. Changing the way we think about spiritual matters. You know, we still have this attitude. I had a man tell me one time. Now, this was his testimony about when he was a young Christian. He said the Lord put the gift of prophecy upon him. But he said, as a young Christian, he said, I couldn't bring myself to bring it forth until there was physical feeling and manifestation going on. I had to be a buzz before I'd actually bring it out. Well, I want to tell you something. Prophecy, listen to me now very carefully, because this is true for every one of you. The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Yeshua, the testimony of the Messiah. And where is it? In every one of you. How do I know that? The scripture says you all may prophesy one by one. Every one of us have the ability through the Holy Spirit, which is in us, to prophesy. We do. But I don't feel. You don't have to feel. You've got that knowing, that impression, that understanding. And what I'm coming to understand more and more about this as time goes on is the feelings are not necessary at all. Let me point up some things to you here. In Luke chapter 8, we've talked about this a lot. We could set this scene up. Yeshua's been over, I believe, in the land of the Gadarenes. He comes back across the lake and he gets out and he starts walking. And a man who is a synagogue leader, and his name is Jair, or we know him as Jairus. Remember, every English Bible uses J's when they should use Y's. Right? It's Jair. And Jair comes to Yeshua and he said, my little girl is sick. She's dying. I've watched her over the days and she just gets weaker and weaker and weaker. Will you come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed, that she may live? And Yeshua says, I'll go with you. And he starts off with him. And there's a crowd, a press, a great group of people all around him. And as they're walking along, a woman with an issue of blood comes up into that group of people, violating rabbinic law, violating Torah. She's supposed to be announcing her uncleanness, but she has been saying something, and this is important to get this. Before she got there, she said, if I could touch his tzitzit, I would be healed. If I could touch the hem of his garment, if I could just touch the tzitzit, I can't touch them through the glass.
Not through the glass.
There. If I could touch these, I would be healed. And this woman comes and works her way through and takes hold. And the Bible says, immediately, the flow of her blood stopped. In Luke 8:45, Yeshua said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him, this was his ministry of helps, by the way, they said, Master, the multitude throngs you and presses upon you, and you say, who touched me? There's a whole bunch of people touching you. But Jesus said, listen to this now, and if you've got your translation open, I'll be interested to know what it says. Because it says, and Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. Now that's King James. I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. I perceive. What is virtue?
It depends on what it says in the Greek.
What?
It depends on what it says in the Greek. If it was dunamis, it might be power.
No, it wasn't that. I don't believe it was dunamis in this case, was it?
For I know power.
I still don't believe it was actually dunamis in this case.
I really don't know.
It really speaks of spiritual energy, is what it speaks of. It speaks of that part of the spirit. Now, there's different words in the Greek that are translated as power. We know that. But there was something that he perceived. Say perceived.
Perceived.
Now, tell me the way you've heard that. By the way, do any of your translations say anything different about what he said about perceive?
He said, I know.
I know. I know.
No, I know.
Anybody else have any? What?
Felt.
Felt. Now, felt is commonly the way this is taught. I felt this. Now, the word in the Greek doesn't have anything to do with senses. It has to do with knowledge. The word is gnosko. Gnosko. And gnosko means to know. In fact, it translated means to be sure. And even though, and by the way, I have several translations that say felt. Why, I understand what they're saying. I believe that they're taking liberty with the Greek text. To know is not the same as to feel. To know something, can you know something without feeling it? Well, it depends on your semantics. But there's a knowing that's much deeper than feeling. Are you understanding me? And I believe that to use the word feel there adds to an already erroneous attitude that we many times have. And I'll just give you an example. I'm going to lay hands on people here today, and I want people to come up here and get hands laid on them. And we'll know God's doing something if they shake. If I shake them a little bit, right? Now, listen, don't you go out of here and tell anybody that I said I don't believe you could shake under the power of the Holy Spirit. Because you can. It can happen that way. But what do we build into people? An expectation that if the power is there, then people will be falling out under the power.
There'll be a feeling.
That they'll be feeling. And I'm going to tell you right now that ministry of healing has nothing to do with feeling.
Amen.
I feel like it's building a false expectation. It's an expectation that's based on this, right?
Yeah.
What
sensory perception.
Exactly. What my senses are telling
that's
me.
Right.
But yeah.
That's right.
It's
and that's that and I say that is really more fostered among the charismatic Pentecostal group than it is among people who perhaps are more, they might be fundamentalists, but they don't, they're not used to seeing things like that happen. Now, the other problem with that side is that they have no expectation that healing is going to happen either. Now, you can have an expectation of healing and be absolutely sure and not have to have anyone touch you. And not feel anything, number one. Number two, and not even feel better.
Right.
Not even feel better. Nothing has changed. It still hurts. But you can be gnosko, be sure that you were healed.
Amen.
Now, let me ask you this. What's the basis for us believing we could be healed anyhow?
The Torah.
And the Word of God all the way through. The whole Tanakh.
And the beauty was, most of it was never done the exact same way. It was all different.
No.
So why do we have to put the parameters that if the Holy Spirit falls, this is what it has to look like? all the time.
And this carries into every part of our life. I see downtrodden believers, believing I just don't sense anything from God right now. I don't feel anything at all. And I just don't know. I just know he told me to do this, but you know, I just feel like I'm wandering right now. And there's just this sense of downness and depression and discouragement. And I don't know why. I don't feel like anything's, I know God's real. I know that he is, but nothing's changing. And I haven't heard from him lately.
God.
Yeah.
That's exactly what's been going on with me. I've been like, I need to pray for America. I need to pray for America. Okay, pray, pray, pray. Nothing changes. Okay, pray, pray, pray. It gets worse.
Yeah, that's number three.
Yeah.
You not only don't feel better, it can get worse.
Yeah.
That's good. And see, this is because we are attuned to, but see, the scripture tells us. How does the scripture say it? By the way, I've always been impressed by the phrasing of Isaiah 53 and 1 Peter 2. But I have found Hebrew texts of the scripture that put them in the same tense.
Oh, wow.
That's a big difference.
In Isaiah 53, it says, who have believed our report, to who is the arm of the Lord revealed? He grew up before us as a tender shoot. Was nothing about him that we should desire him. Remember that? The Bible says we did esteem him as stricken and smitten of God, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement that makes us whole, the chastisement for our shalom was upon him. And with his stripes, King James says, and most say, are healed. But I read just the other day in a Hebrew text, by his stripes we were healed. We were healed. And I don't know how many of you know, but Hebrew is a complicated language to lay out tenses. And in fact, we talk about the Aaronic blessing. Most people speak the Aaronic blessing. May God bless you and keep you. I have discovered that in Hebrew, that as equally, the Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you. That's blessing, boy. And so in 1 Peter 2:24, when it says, it says that he took our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. The fact is, whether it was or is past tense, it's a fact. Healing, say healing's a fact.
Healing is a fact.
Did you know that healing is not even a promise? It's beyond the promise. It is a fact. Who is it a fact to?
All of us, because it says it right there.
Does it say?
Before he even showed up.
Yeah.
It says we have been healed by his wounds.
That's right. Because have he's been timeless. Healed.
Because he's timeless.
Yeah.
Because absolutely.
If it's eternal.
So, you know, if we believe that, I mean, that's our basis for believing in healing. Our basis for believing in healing has nothing to do whether you get an electric jolt when I touch you. Right? Has nothing to do with whether oil is smeared on you and you feel something. In Mark chapter 5 and verse 30, the Bible says, and Jesus immediately knowing, and this they even strengthen the word just a little bit and make it epigenosko. Epigenosko is stronger, but again, it means to know or to become fully acquainted with in himself, it says. He knew in himself. Where did you know? That inner knowing. Say inner knowing.
Inner knowing.
The inner knowing, that's the thing. And what does it take? Well, it's like all of the prophecies of God. Every prophecy of God is absolutely sure and true, but it is true even before the manifestation appears.
What was that word you just used?
Epigenosko.
Okay.
Epi. This is the only thing is they add prefix epi to it. Said he knew in himself that virtue had gone out of him, and he turned about in the presence and said, who touched my clothes? You know, this is also mirrored in Paul's ministry. Paul, we read about him in Lystra. While he was in Lystra, in verse 8 of chapter 14 of Acts, Acts 14:8, it says, "There sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked." Never had walked. Paul is in the time of ministering the word of God. But here's what it says about him. "The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him." In other words, he set his eyes on him. But something's going on inside. "And perceiving." Perceiving. Another Greek word, which is eido. E-I-D-O would be the way we would spell it. Eido. But it means the same as gnosko. To know or be sure that he had faith to be healed. Did he know this in his natural man? Can you look at somebody and in your natural man, can you tell they have faith to be healed? No, I want to tell you what, it'll throw you off. It'll throw you off. I'll never forget one time that I went into my grandmother's house. And she had been having bad pains in her legs. And I walked up to her. And I put my hands on her, and oh, I wanted to shake, and I wanted her to shake. But I put my hands on her, and nothing happened. I just put my hands on her and thanked the Lord for her healing. I pronounced the word of God over her. This happened 48 years ago, maybe, 45 years ago. Put my hands on her, and I walked away. And I was a little disappointed in my spirit. And she said, "You know, the moment you touched me, the pain left. I felt nothing. Are you hearing me? I felt absolutely nothing." Why? Do you think a pipe has to feel something flow through it? No. It flows just the same. And if we're just channels, we don't have to feel. But she didn't talk about feeling. She just said the pain left. I guess you could say there's feeling there. But the pain left. It was not through any other manifestation. And I want you to understand this. If you look at the miracles of Yeshua, think of how many times he just said something like, "Go show yourself to the priest." Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or spit in their eye. Now, it's sure enough, they felt something, right? But it's not what they expected to feel. And this is the point that I'm trying to make. Naaman, almost missed his healing because he wanted to have something dynamic.
Right.
Something over, something. He wanted the clouds to open and the sun to shine down on him. And what did God say? "Go wash yourself in the Jordan River." It is the knowing that you know that you know that's important. And that doesn't come from your mind. That comes up out of the spirit of man. Comes up and you know. And so now, here I am. I'm walking along. I haven't heard a thing from God in several days. I haven't heard anything. I'm just walking along and I'm saying, I'm just doing what God told me to do. It doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference if I'm ministering to 1,000 people or to 8. Are you listening to me? It doesn't make any difference. What am I doing? I'm doing what God told me to do. I'm going on. What am I doing? I'm pressing on. Why? Because it's done. Remember the song? It's done. It's done. So I keep pressing on. I just keep moving on in Him. I continue to do what He told me to do. I don't have to hear things. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean that he's just all the time chattering in your ear? Well, he can be, but he doesn't usually, does he? What does he do? He'd say, "Let's do this." We do this. Now, here's where a lot of people are. "Let's do this. In a minute, Lord. Tomorrow. As soon as I get this taken care of. As soon as I do that." Listen, if you haven't heard anything for a while, it may have something to do with not completing the last assigned task. Say this with me. Say,
the steps
of a righteous man
are
ordered of the Lord.
Are ordered of the Lord.
Do you believe that?
Oh, yeah.
The steps of righteous people are ordered by God. And so that means, do I have to feel something?
No.
No, I'm just stepping along. I'm just stepping. But there's order in the steps. And what does the Lord bring out of that? Exactly what He has designed to do. Feeling is wonderful. Oh, I love feeling. But you got to feel something afterward, didn't you? An excitement about what God did. Amen?
Yeah.
You don't have to feel it while it's going on. You can see the fruit. You can see it. Listen to what Habakkuk says. Habakkuk says, and this hit me harder in a way that I've never seen it before. He said, "Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright. Behold, his soul lifted is," it says, "which is actually in italics. Behold, his soul lifted up is not upright." And I saw this. What does that mean, a lifted up soul? Well, the word in the Hebrew is to swell.
Mm-hmm.
To swell. Yeah, leaven. Leaven. To swell. To swell. It's not upright. It's not an integrity. And in other words, if you look at it this way, a soul that has preeminence, a soul that's put in the wrong order, a soul that says, "I can handle this," a soul that says, "I can do it," a soul that forgets what Yeshua said. He said, "Without me, you can do what? Nothing." That's where we get ourselves into problem. He says the soul that's lifted up is not upright. But the just, say the just.
The just.
What's the just?
The righteous.
The righteous shall live by his faith. By his what?
Faith.
By his faith. What is faith?
Things unseen.
It is things unseen, but let me tell you something about it. In the Hebrew, it is given a stronger and more important meaning that I think than most Greco-Roman believers ever understand it to have. Because the word in the Hebrew is emunah. Emunah. And emunah means to be what?
Faithful.
Faithful or steady. Steady. Keep pressing on. Keep pressing on. Keep pressing on. I heard a guy preach his whole sermon one time on plod on. Plod on, plod on, plod on. When things are going bad, plod on. Keep going, you know. He talked about keeping in the same vain, even when nothing is seen outwardly. Stability. See, we normally think faith is just believing. Well, that is the action of a stable person. That is the action of a steady person. To believe is a verb. Emunah is substance.
Yes.
And that's why the Bible says, faith is the
substance of things,
the evidence of things not seen. There's both parts given right there, but the Greeks didn't understand it because they didn't have, well, they may have understood it, but they weren't able to relate it the way the Hebrew word gives it. The just shall live by his firmness, by his emunah, by his steadiness, by his stability, by his faithfulness, by continuing all the time. In Young's literal translation, that same verse says, "Yo, lo, a presumptuous one, not upright in his soul within him, and the righteous by his steadfastness liveth." The righteous by his steadfastness liveth. Righteous. The righteous. A soulless man has to feel. You remember how Paul had to deal with the Corinthians about carnality?
Right.
Well, carnality is soulishness. That's what he told them. He says, "Are you not yet carnal?" What were they doing? Well, they were caught up in how they felt about their leaders.
They were walking as mere people.
That's right, as men. That's exactly right. And what does that go back to? Romans 12:2. Don't become like the people of this world. Change the way you think. Paul was telling Timothy, I don't know if you know, but Timothy went through a lot of buffeting in his ministry. He was a young man set in charge of a church. I believe it was Crete, was the first one. But he was left, anyhow, ministering to a group of people that didn't always respect him right. And Paul was speaking to him by the Holy Spirit and telling him about some of the things that had been going on in his life. But he said it this way. He said, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed." Didn't put me down. "For I know." Say no.
No.
What have we been talking about? Knowing. Not feeling, but knowing. Knowing. Knowing these things. He says, "I know whom I have believed and am persuaded." I'm persuaded. When he said, "I know," he was using that word "eido" again. I know, I'm sure of this. And he says, "And I am persuaded." I rely on this. I have an inward certainty about this. That he is able, the one I know, is able. Say he's able. To keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Doesn't make any difference how I feel. Doesn't make it. It's a finished work. It's done. It's done. So keep pressing on. Amen. It's done. It's going on. Romans 1:17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just, the righteous, shall live by faith." That's a quote of Habakkuk 2:4 in Romans 1:17. Here's the contrast. You know, Proverbs gives us contrasts a lot. Did you ever notice that? That's what a lot of the teaching is of the Proverbs will be. This happens to these and this, but this happens to these. And listen what he says about this. He says, "The wicked," or the ungodly, "flee." This is Proverbs 28:1. "They flee when no man pursueth." Now I got to plugging that into us in when we're feeling, you know, our feelings get bad. You know, we're just not feeling like things are going good. And what do people often do when they're not feeling anything? What happens when they get discouraged? What happens?
They stop pursuing.
They quit. I can't tell you the number of people. Things aren't going right. I just feel like quitting. Now that's kind of the first step before I wish I were dead, like Elijah. That's the Elijah way of doing it. I just wish I'd die. No, the wicked flee when no man pursueth. So you don't see anything going on. Sonia couldn't see anything except that her phone didn't work.
That's right.
Couldn't see anything about that except her phone didn't work. And yet, God used that. How many believe that God used that? I mean, can you see that that was a ordered of the Lord event? Psalm 91:1 says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Two words there, dwell and abide. Dwell and abide. What does it mean? What? Very, 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 very similar, yes.
So dwell means be in the same place.
Right. I believe it has a meaning to settle down.
Yeah.
To settle down. To settle down. Here's the point. Yeshua said, "If you abide in me." Now, is that a feeling? Abiding in the Lord? No. Let's get to that deal. I love your presence most of all. Is that a feeling? Can be, but does it have to be? No, there's many, many times that I dwell in perfect shalom without feeling anything.
It's a state of being.
That's where I am. That's where I live. When I go home and live, I don't have any euphoric feeling of going into my house. Feels good to go in there as far as just settling down, right? But it's not feeling. It's just dwelling. Just being. Just abiding. And just trusting Him. He says, "I will say of the Lord," and this is the way to keep this, "I will say of the Lord," verse 2, "He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust." Brothers and sisters, let's get away from requiring that we feel things. Let's just walk because we know that's who we are. Because that's the way He made us, just to abide in Him, just to live in Him, just to trust in Him. When you feel, well, shout, it's all right, it's okay. You can, you can have the feelings. I'm glad for the feelings. But I want you to know that that is not where your power comes from. It's not where the power of the Lord is revealed or released. It's not in feeling. It happens from time to time. God does things His way. I don't know why He does them sometimes one way and sometimes another. But I don't know why that Yeshua healed everybody He healed in a different manner. But He did. And I think probably to show us that there is no religious way of doing this. Because, oh, we are so caught up on doing things religiously. And then we expect God to manifest
within the box that we put in.
Within, that's right, within that box.
Right.
That's right. Does that mean anything to you, what we've talked about today? Can that help you to go and press on better than you have in the past? Can that help you to go when you don't feel anything, see anything? When, as John says, things seem to get worse? And what Christy said too, you know, about this marriage thing, you know, that just, that's powerful, you know. And we, you know, that's one of the things we've been teaching here through the years is that, you know, when you're dealing with marriage, marriage is not the way Westerners deal with it. Mm-hmm. Shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. It should be the way God deals with it. Mm-hmm. And God doesn't talk. He never one time talks about finding somebody you can fall in love with. Did you know that? Mm-hmm. Falling in love is not in the scripture.
It's betrothal.
But there is love. Mm-hmm. And love does something that's wonderful, and that is that love grows not by feeling, not by the little butterflies, mm-hmm. not by, you know, all of the princess things that we think about, you know. But it's God. God on the inside, growing, building. And that's the thing, you know, and much of what the Lord teaches us about things is that principle of sowing and reaping. And, you know, if any of you have ever grown a garden, you know that you don't do that fast food style, right? It takes time. And God's seeds develop. And this is the thing about our lives, you know, and what we see and the way our ministries go. And so many of us know things that God has said. God has spoken things concerning this church, this congregation. There have been many numbers of people that have had dreams about this church and what it will be before it's over with.
Amen.
It isn't yet. Mm-mm. But that doesn't mean that there is not a quality in what's going on right now. There is a growing here and an understanding that's coming into people here that, you know, it'll never be taken from you. And I believe it is the foundation that will bring about the rest of it when the season is right.
Amen.
Did you know there are seasons in God's plan?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. Let's all stand together. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You remember Don Francisco's song about praise the Lord, hallelujah, I don't care what the devil's going to do. The word in faith is my sword and shield, and Jesus is the Lord of what? Of the way I feel. Amen. Hallelujah. He's the Lord, and that's what we're doing. That's harnessing those old emotional thoughts. Amen. So, Father, today we just take authority over everything that would hinder or hurt or put your people down. Anything that would discourage or bring down, anything that would cause a lack of enthusiasm in your people today, we tear that down because that's an imagination. And you said pulling down, taking down strongholds, putting imaginations into obedience. Every high thought into obedience. Those thoughts that are swollen, those thoughts that are built up, those thoughts that have no uprightness in them, we take them down right now in the name of Yeshua. And we thank You, Father, that because we are Your believing ones, because we trust you. And we trust you in the sunshine. We trust you in the rain. We trust you no matter what happens. We trust you, Lord, when we're going downhill, and we trust you when we're going uphill. We trust you. We believe that those things that you have said, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And so I choose today that I'll not be bound to my emotional man. I'll not be allowing myself to be carnal in my relationship. For I will walk in the Spirit, and I will be led by the Spirit. I am walking in faith, and say it with me, I walk by faith and not by sight. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Just lift your hands up. Hallelujah. Iva rekaka Adonai vayishmareka. Yair Adonai panavaleka vichunecha. Yise Adonai panavaleka v'yasem lacha shalom. And now Yahweh bless you. Yahweh will keep you. Yahweh will make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Yahweh will lift you up in the light of his countenance and give you his shalom in the name of Yeshua. And everybody that received it said,